Pretty easy on you guys. All right, just going to let you know right up front. It's going to be pretty easy on you, except we're going to turn to a lot of Bible. All right, so I don't know if you have to, you know, crack the knuckles, if you have to do some exercises, whatever, to get ready, but we are going to turn to some scriptures this morning. And this morning we, meaning me, and you're going to listen, all right, I'm going to preach a message on heaven. And singing the songs, of course, I know what the message is, right? So I'm looking and look the songs and the different things. But heaven is called different names, and some in the scriptures, and some we've taken liberty in writing our songs and different things like that. But heaven sometimes is referred to as glory, going home to glory. That's another name for it, home. I'm going home someday. If we're saved and born again, the song says, this earth is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. This world's not my home. It's called the Promised Land. Of course, that's in type as Israel crossed over Jordan and went to the Promised Land. Sometimes that promised land for you and I, if we're saved and born again, is heaven. It's called paradise. It's Paul says that he was taken up into heaven, a third heaven, he says, and it was paradise. The song calls it the pearly white city, the pearly white city. And of course, all Bible terms, all coming from the Bible. And we're going to talk about heaven this morning and what a place it is and what a place that we're longing to go. Hopefully you're longing to go to that place called heaven. Now, it's just a little bit of groundwork. We're not going to turn to Genesis, but a little bit of groundwork is we read in Genesis chapter 1, it lays out three different heavens for us, all right, for kind of definition of terms. And we're talking about heaven, and the heaven we're going to be preaching on, I'm going to be preaching on this morning. The first heaven is where the birds fly, all right? That's where we walk outside, and on a beautiful day like today, we look up and we see that glowing thing in the sky, right? And the sun coming down, and we see the birds fly in the air, and we can see the clouds in the sky. And so that's what we would call the first heaven. That's where the birds are. Now, the second heaven that God calls heaven in Genesis 1 is the place where he made the sun and the moon and the stars also. All right, and so that's called the second heaven. That's what we would call outer space. And that's where you can look up at night, and you can see way up into the stars, and you can see the moon, and depending on what's happening, you can see Elon Musk's, you know, satellites going. I first came out here, you know, and I'm looking up in the sky one night, and all of a sudden I see, and I'm like, there's UFOs out here. Not only is Bigfoot out here, but there are UFOs out here in Washington as well. And you can see those satellites going through, and you can see all this stuff. But that's the second heaven that God created, that second heaven. And then there's the third heaven that Paul mentions. He says, I was taken up, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, he says, but I was taken up into the third heaven. And what is the third heaven? Well, the third heaven is north, way north. And I don't mean north like I-5 north. I mean north like whoosh, that north. Take the North Star and you go way, way, way beyond it of all the creation of God and all the outer space and all the garment of God. And you go way past there, and what happens? You get to the sides of the north, the city on the sides of the north, and that's up into heaven. That's the heaven that we're going to be talking about. It's not flying around in an airplane. It's not the satellites and all the stuff. And we're not going to be talking about aliens and stuff tonight and all that today. But we're going to be talking about heaven, that third heaven. Turn to Psalm chapter number 11 to start this morning. Psalm chapter 11. We'll read a verse and we'll pray. And then we'll talk about heaven. Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11, verse number 4. Psalm 11, verse 4. Now listen, I understand we're going to be turning to some scriptures, and if you're not getting there as fast as I'm getting there and reading them, that's okay. If you can't keep up, just listen, or maybe get out a piece of scratch paper and write down the references. You can look them up later. and confirm what I'm saying to be true as we talk about this heaven. But Psalm chapter 11, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men." This is the heaven we're talking about, the Lord's holy temple, where the Lord's throne is. We're going to be talking about this heaven. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray one more time and ask the blessing on the message this morning. Lord, thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your greatness. Lord, thank You for allowing us to meet here freely, giving us the health to be here, and vehicles that got us here, Lord. And I pray that You would calm our minds and our hearts. Lord, that we would concentrate on the Scriptures, that You would speak through Your Holy Spirit and speak to us about this place called heaven. And Lord, if there's anyone that has a question about their salvation or where they're going to spend eternity, Lord, I pray that this morning they would think about what You've done for them on the cross. And Lord, thank You for providing heaven as a home for us that are born again and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Thank You for the special music we had today. Thank You for the congregational singing and the offering, everything that was said and done. And Lord, we pray that it would be glorifying to You. Lord, help us to thank You and praise You in all things. Lord, I ask that You would increase and that I would decrease in the sight of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm chapter 11 here in verse number 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. In this heaven that we're going to talk about, the first thing I'd like to say about this heaven mentioned here in Psalm 11 is that it's God's dwelling place. It's God's dwelling place. This is the heaven. This is the heaven that's far above. This is the heaven that you and I have never seen. This is a place talked about in the Bible and mentioned many times in the Bible. It's a place that we've never seen. It's a place that we can, that we by faith hope for. And this place called heaven, this is the place where God dwells. And if God dwells, you'd think that we would know something about it. If we know the God of the Bible, which we should, if we read it and if we take our time to study the Word of God and listen to the preaching of the Word of God, we should know some things about this heaven if this is where God dwells. And we're not going to turn to the Scriptures, but we would know that if heaven is where God dwells, then this is a holy place. It's a holy place. It's a righteous place. It would be a place that's pure. It'd be a place without sin. God is not does not dwell with sin. And of course, that's part of our sin problem. But when we get to heaven, listen, heaven is not like this place here on earth. Heaven is not your favorite vacation location. Vacation location. That sounds like preacher talk. All right. That's not heaven. Whether you like the mountains or whether you like being by the ocean or whatever it is, that's not heaven. You can go places and you can buy a tourist t-shirt, you know, heaven on earth, you know. You can go up to Mount Rainier and you can go up through paradise. That's not the paradise of heaven. It's beautiful up there and there's a lot of beautiful places on this earth, but they're not like heaven. They're not like heaven. Heaven is a place of beauty. Man, can you imagine the beauty that we can see on this earth? And if you want to go with me, we'll go on a hike and we'll climb. All right. If I'm going on a hike, I'm not going on a walk. All right. If I'm going on a hike, I want to go on a climb that's going to take me somewhere where I can sit up there with very few people and I can just look out at what God created. And we know because of sin, this earth and all of its beauty is cursed. The creation of this earth is cursed, and so, but not heaven. And if God could create an earth this beautiful, what must heaven be like? It's going to be a beautiful place. It's the place where God dwells. And all the beauty and all the perfectness and all the righteousness and all the holiness, that's God, and that's where He dwells. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at a few references here. Matthew chapter 5. Now we speak of God in the term that I'm using, the reference, I'm speaking to God as the Trinity. All right, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Matthew chapter number 5 tells us in Matthew 5 verse 34, the Bible says this, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. All right, so Matthew chapter number 5, this is a Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus Christ. If you have the red letter edition, it's in red. All right, so Jesus Christ speaking of God and saying it's where God's throne dwells. Look in verse 16 of the same chapter. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your Father which is in heaven. This is God the Father. God the Father, He dwells in heaven. Look in verse 45, down to verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. This is God the Father, and God the Father's home is heaven. Turn maybe over a page, Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look in verse number 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is what we would call the disciples' prayer. Jesus Christ teaching His disciples how to pray. It says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. God the Father, His dwelling place is in heaven. Now turn over to Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter number 7, we have Stephen, who is martyred and for Jesus Christ, is preaching, giving his last sermon on earth before he's killed by those that reject Christ. But Acts chapter number 7, he's speaking here, and look all the way down in verse 49. Acts chapter 7 and verse 49. This is what the prophet said. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? So heaven is His throne, and the earth is His footstool. All right, now look in verse 56. In verse 56, the Bible says, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. All right, so we know God the Father, His throne is in heaven, in the third heaven, and that's the place where He dwells. And Stephen says here, this is of course after Jesus Christ and His death, he says, I looked up into the heavens and I saw the Son of Man standing by the throne, standing right there at the right hand of God the Father. Who did he see? He saw God the Son. God the Son. Look in Acts chapter number 1. Back a few chapters, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. All right, you see heaven, it's mentioned a couple times there, right? They're standing there, and Jesus Christ ascends up of his own power given to him of God, and he ascends up into the clouds, and the disciples are standing there after he was giving them kind of their last charge of what was to come. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost unto you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He witnesses of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm going to send him to you, and then you're going to be witnesses unto me. And then up he goes. He ascends up, and they're standing there, and an angel starts talking to him. Hey, what are you boys doing? What are you looking at? This same Jesus that ascended up into heaven is going to come in like manner. He's going to come from heaven as you saw him go into heaven. And so where is Christ now? We can run the references in the scriptures, and we can find that Jesus Christ said, I am from above. Jesus Christ in eternity wasn't given a man's name, Jesus. Jesus the Son, God the Son, was given the name the Word. And in heaven, he is the Word. He was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ came from heaven. It was God the Son. And then he was here on this earth and he lived and he died and he was buried and he rose again from the dead on the third day to prove that he was who he said he was. And he died a death that he didn't deserve to die. And he died, the Bible says, for the sins of the world. And then he ascended back up into heaven and he remains in heaven now. And he's there waiting for his return. Waiting for his return. But that's where God the Son dwells now. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:47, it says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. That was Adam. All right, it says, but the second man, Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Amen. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's the Lord from heaven. He came down and took not on himself the nature of angels. He didn't come down to be a Superman. He came down as God manifest in the flesh, as you and I, to understand our struggles and our difficulties and our emotions and the temptations that we face in this life. He knows you and I. And then he returned to heaven. And when he returned to heaven, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 4. God the Son in heaven. Look in chapter 4 and verse number 14. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed on into the heavens. Who is it? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Turn over to chapter 8 and look at chapter 8, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. What is that? That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our high priest. He now acts as our high priest. Why? He shed his blood as the final sacrifice for you and I. No longer the blood of bulls and goats, as the Old Testament required, but now the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once it was shed, if we receive that blood as payment for our sin, if we receive his sacrifice and his perfection in the place of our sin, if we receive that, he becomes our high priest. He becomes that we can go directly to. You and I, we can bow our heads this morning and we don't have to go through a man. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to get into a box and go through a confessional to talk to some man. We have access to God Almighty through our high priest, which is Jesus Christ. When we get saved, we become the sons of God. My children don't have to go through somebody to get to me. They can come right to me. Why? Because they're my children. They can come right to me and ask me something, and I say, no, you can't. That's why they don't come sometimes. They're just like, well, Dad's going to say no. But they don't have to go through anybody. Right? Your kids, if they want to come ask me a question or any other, but anybody, they're probably going to say, hey, can I go ask them a question? Right? They're going to want to make sure it's okay. But my kids don't have to do that. They can come right to me. And your kids can go right to you. And we have a Father in heaven, God the Father, that we become sons of God through God the Son. And where are they now? They're both in heaven. They're both in heaven. And then turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Keep going to the right. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 12. 1 Peter 1, 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. what happens here. The Holy Ghost of God, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send you the Comforter. He says it in John 14 and 15 and 16. I'm going to send you a Comforter. And in Acts chapter number 1, I'm going to send. It's needful for him to come to you. Because God the Son was going to go away. But guess what happened? He sent God the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Ghost of God to come down and dwell in you and I who are saved and born again. He's given us freely of his Holy Ghost. And guess what happened? The Holy Ghost of God dwells in heaven. And he's come down to be inside of us. He's come down to dwell inside of each and every one of us if we're saved. Now, if we're not saved, you don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can still speak to you if you're not saved. He'll speak to you and draw you and point you to the cross of Calvary. To say, this is where you go. Go to the cross to become a son of God. Go to the cross to have your sins forgiven. Go to the cross to be accepted of God and to be justified and for the wrath of God to be appeased against sin. Go to the cross. That's what the Holy Ghost will say. But if we're saved, he comes inside of us. Once we've been saved, he says, all right, now, you should live a different life now. You're a child of God, no longer a child of the devil. You're a child of God. And so this is how you should live your life. And he'll lead and guide and direct and convict you of sin and open up your eyes to the scriptures and give you understanding that you didn't have before. What's that come from? That's not because I'm a great teacher or a great preacher. Your eyes aren't opened because of some words that I can use to explain the doctrines of the scriptures. The Holy Ghost of God, from God himself given to you, desires to open up our eyes and to have us learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, does that. And so, say, what's happening in heaven? Well, that's where God dwells. God dwells in heaven. And people say, well, we're going to get to heaven. It's just going to be one big party like it is down here. Not at all. Not at all. It'll be a party of sorts, but not what you and I are used to. It's going to be something different. Heaven is a holy place. It's a clean place. Listen, I like coming to church because church should be a clean place. Church should be a place where we speak right. And we look right. And we can think right. And it should be a clean place where the sin and the garbage of the world shouldn't be in here. We don't want it in here. It's not welcome here. We want to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're all sinners, so we all bring our own baggage through the doors. But man, this is the place where I want to be thinking about the Lord, and I want to be thinking about God. I want to think about his sinless perfection. I want to be thinking about heaven. I want to be thinking about hell and how I don't have to go there because of Jesus Christ. And man, I like coming to this place. It should be a clean place here in church. I like being with you folks, and no one in here is perfect, but man, compared to some of the things of the world, I like being in here and being around God's people. But this isn't heaven. And we heard the beautiful music playing, and I was like, man, the angels are going to come down. And he threw in the chimes at the end. You know, if you ever seen those little chimes, he just threw in the chimes at the end. And well, when I was a kid, that's when you turn the page in the story. If anybody is old enough to remember that, we actually had a little record. And we had this little teeny record thing. We put the record on, and me and my sister, we'd lay on our stomachs, and we'd have, you know, Mickey and the Beanstalk, you know. Oh, turn the page. All right. My sister couldn't read yet. I probably could, but didn't want to. So I just listened for the chime. And oh, that's where we turn. We look at the next Mickey picture. That's what we do. And man, I was like, man, the heavens are going to open. But this isn't heaven. And heaven's going to be far greater than this. Heaven's going to be far greater than this. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I was looking through some notes and I was looking at heaven and looking at some things, and the Lord said, this is the one. I don't know, it's hard to explain. The Lord said, this is the one. And I said, man, woo, it's exciting. And sometimes I have to stand up here and, you know, deliver the rod. That's no fun. But man, getting to talk about heaven this morning, getting to look in the scriptures and be reminded of heaven. And these are the fun messages to preach. These are the good ones. John chapter 14, look in verse number 1. The Bible says this, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he talks about this place. I like to say, secondly, this place is a prepared place. All right, it's God's dwelling place, but heaven is also a prepared place. It's a prepared place, and it's a prepared place because God and Jesus Christ, they have you and I in mind. They have the Christian in mind. They have those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and those that have obeyed God throughout all ages. They have them in mind. Turn to Revelation chapter number 21, all the way to the end. Revelation chapter 21. The Lord Jesus said that he will prepare a place. That's what he said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's going to prepare a place for us. Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse number 2. The Bible says, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. They're true and faithful. Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And in Revelation 21, we see this is at the very end, and this is after a lot of things in the future of the Scriptures. But someday, we're going to see it, and we're going to behold it, and it's going to become our home. And it's this place. It's this place called New Jerusalem. It's heaven put into something finite that we can know and think and picture and see and understand. All right, all of heaven, eternity, and heaven of eternity future and eternity past. Man, that's a lot. That's a lot to try to cram in between my ears. It's a lot for me to read the Bible and go, oh yeah, I get that. I understand all that. No, but this New Jerusalem, this heaven, this is the place where the bride is going to be, those for you and I that are saved and born again. It's going to be that city that is there for you and I. And it's this prepared place. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's this prepared place. We're going back to Hebrews chapter 11. Look in verse 16, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16. Talking about Abraham and his children, it says, But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. It's a prepared place. He's prepared a city. Look in verse number 10, same chapter. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If you've had any chance to travel even just a little bit, even if it's just up and down Highway 5, and you get to some cities and you see some of the architecture and you see some of the buildings and what man has been able to put together, you have a chance to go see some old cathedrals, or you just get online and you look up pictures of some places that man has built around the world. And man, there's some beautiful things that man has built. But imagine what God's going to build. Imagine what that's going to look like. Imagine the splendor of a place like that. Add on top of that the idea that there's going to be no more pain and no more sickness and no more tears and no more death. That's not this place. That's a much greater place. That's a much greater place that the Bible says that God is preparing a place for us. It's a prepared place. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians. Don't lose me now. Keep turning. Listen, we live in a world where you read something online and people swear by it. All right, don't take my word for it. We're looking up the scriptures. All right, we're looking up the scriptures. The scriptures have plenty to say about heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The preacher I was went to school under, he said, "Don't believe me. Look it up for yourself." That's what he used to say. Don't take my word for it. Look it up for yourself in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." You know what's included in that, those preparations? That's included heaven. Heaven's included in that. There's many things that God has prepared for them to love him on this earth, as well as future in heaven. But we can't, and you can have an artist draw it up. You can draw it from the scriptures. We can use the best of our imaginations, but it hasn't even entered into the heart of man what it's going to be like. We can't even think about it. We can't even imagine it. The song says the half has not been told. We can try, but we can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. Why? Because it's a place that's prepared of God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Colossians 1, 3. "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel." There is this hope that we have. And what is it? It's laid up for us in heaven. All right, now we have a few things that are a hope. All right, we have our lively hope, which is we have our hope, which is Jesus Christ, the blessed hope. All right, we have him as a hope. Not a, well, I maybe, not that kind, but like the hope that we have on this earth. It's not in government. It's not in religion. My hope rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is our hope. A part of that hope that we have that's reserved for us in heaven is that city that he's prepared for us. In heaven, it's part of that hope. It's a place that's prepared. It's a place prepared. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Part of this inheritance that we have, one of the things that we have that's laid up and it's assured of us, and it's undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and it's reserved. What is that? It's that city. It's that city. It's set aside in heaven for you and I. That place of no sorrow and no bills and no corrupt government and no high gas prices. And it won't be too hot and it won't be too cold. Right? It'll be just right. It won't be too hard or too soft. It'll be just right. It's a Goldilocks reference. All right, okay. But that place, it's reserved. It's part of our inheritance. He's going to give us a glorified body someday. That's also part of our inheritance. We have an inheritance laid aside for us, depending on the works that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ and this body. We have an inheritance, and part of that inheritance is a city made without hands. It's made from God. And it's part of that inheritance, and it's a prepared place. Thank God for that prepared place. I'd like to say this thirdly. I'd like to pose this question thirdly. Well, when do we go to heaven? When do we go there? I mean, I'm looking forward to this place. I'm looking forward to being there in heaven. It's the place where God dwells. It's the place where Jesus Christ is and will be. And listen, for eternity, we're going to be in the place of God. We're going to see Him face to face. The song says, face to face, I shall behold Him. Far beyond the starry sky. Why, it's in the third heaven. It's the place where Jesus is going to be. The song says we're going to know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands. We're going to see our Savior. We're going to see the one that died for you and I. We're going to see the one that sent His Holy Ghost and His Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct and comfort and give peace. And we're going to see the one that's responsible for all of that. We're going to see our Lord face to face. And we're going to be with Him forever. But when? When do we go to heaven? Well, there's two ways to go to heaven. One is death. All right, death. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When we die. When do we go to heaven? Well, we go to heaven when we die. Now, there's different religions, and they have different ideas about this. They have different ideas about what happens to you after you die. And a lot of times, it's injected into the Bible for personal gain on this side. But let's look at what the Scripture says. What happens when you die? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse number 1. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved. All right, now what's this earthly house, this tabernacle? It's talking about our bodies. This bodies that we have right here. Not the house that you live in. Not a tabernacle that you go and worship in. But this earthly one. All right, this house, this earthly house, this tabernacle, if it were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. This body, right, that's slowly dying, that's the truth of it. This body is slowly dying, that we might be swallowed up in life. Now he, verse 5, that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Wherefore we are always confident. We're confident. Why? Because we have the Scriptures. We're confident knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's how it works. In this body here, in this earthly tabernacle, when we walk on this earth, we have part of His Holy Spirit. We have part of God in us and us in Christ through salvation. But we're still here. We're still hanging out here this morning. You're listening to me preach. You might be daydreaming about 30 other things. I don't know what you're doing right now. You're staring at me, at least most of you. That's a positive thing. All right. Some of you are smiling, so at least you've learned to, I'm thinking about later. All right, but we're all here. We're in this body. But to be absent from this body, in the book of Genesis, the Bible talks about Rachel, and when she dies, what happens? Her soul departs from this body. Amen. It doesn't happen much around here, but other places and old school, when someone died, guess what? You went and walked by a casket. Anybody ever do that? You walked by a casket, and what'd you see? You saw the body of the person that you knew. But they weren't there. They weren't there. If they were saved, God took their soul and took it to heaven. Their body was there, but they weren't there. They weren't there. And people say the strangest things. Say, oh, don't they look nice? Now, it's not the time. But I'm thinking they look dead. That's what And you go, oh, don't they look nice? Nope. That's just the body. They're not there. They're gone. When I die, all right, I want the casket to be right here where this table is. And I want someone to be preaching over my dead body. And you know what? I want them to say, he is not here. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's in heaven. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul says. We're in this body, that means we're not with the Lord. But if we pass from this life, we're not in this body. But if you're saved and born again, you'll be present with the Lord. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 in verse 21. Philippians 1:21. The Bible says, Paul again speaking, Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. He's in between a rock and a hard place. He says, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. He says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He says, God's given me something to do in this flesh. But I'm a man. He says, I went out of here. He says, I live in this flesh and all the stuff that's going on, it's needful and God's given me something to do. But once I leave this body, I'll be with Christ. Amen. And I'll be in heaven. And he says, man, my desire is to be with the Lord. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. There's no purgatory in the Bible. There's no soul sleep in the Bible. What happens? You die in this body. If you're saved and born again, you go to heaven. Amen. You take your last breath and your soul departs and goes to heaven. Amen. If you're saved and born again. So when do you go to heaven? Well, you'll go to heaven if you die. If you're saved and born again, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Or what we're all praying for is the rapture. Amen. That's the other way you get to heaven, in the rapture. Jesus Christ in John 14 says, I will come again. I will come again. And when he returns, he's going to return to bring us to himself. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You get saved, you know what we should be doing? We should be waiting for the Son from heaven. Amen. We should be waiting for the Lord's return. Why? Because he's coming again. Look in chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What is that? That's the rapture. That's the time of the rapture. Those that are saved and born again as part of the church, Jesus Christ comes back to get his bride. And those that have died, that are saved and born again, they raise first their brand new bodies that were promised. They raise first. And our soul, those of us that are alive, if it happened this morning, our souls, if you're saved, would go straight up. And we'd have a glorified body given to us of God. And we'd go straight up right through this roof. You don't want to try it in this body. Messy. You don't want to try it in this body. But in a glorified body, we go straight up and straight to the clouds to meet Jesus Christ. And then we go fast. If you like to go fast, we're going to go real fast. through the galaxies and through outer space and through it all, through the solar systems, man, we're going to go straight up to heaven in a glorified body. And when can it happen? It can happen at the rapture. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. What's going to happen? What's he going to do? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? He's going to change our bodies at the rapture. Our soul is going to get a glorified body, and we're going to go up to be with the Lord. He's going to change it. Where 1 John chapter number 3 says that we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. Amen. We're going to be like him. We're going to be like that Christ in the heavens. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Look in verse 51. 15:51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we that are alive shall be changed. For this corruptible, that's this body, must put on incorruption. And this mortal, that's what we are, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. If we're alive when the Lord returns, and guess what happens? We drop this carnal body right here. We drop this body that's breaking down. We drop this body that doesn't do what it once used to do. We drop this body that doesn't look like it used to look. We drop this and we get a glorified body. This mortality is going to put on immortality. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to say, death is swallowed up in victory. Is swallowed up. And those that are saved and born again, their souls go to be reunited, but God gives them a glorified body. The souls come back with Christ, and they're given a glorified body, and we're complete in him at the rapture when Jesus Christ returns. When do you go to heaven? Well, death or the rapture. I'm praying for the rapture. I don't have to be afraid of death because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his promises. But I just don't want to go through it all. It just seems like more work than I want to deal with. I'm not afraid to die. I might think occasionally about how I'm going to die. But I'm not afraid of death. But let's even so come, Lord Jesus. And then here's the last question. The last question about heaven. How do I know heaven's my home? How do I know? This place called heaven sounds pretty good to me. I don't know about you, but it sounds pretty good. To be with God. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. To be with God. And to be in a place of no sin. Whether it's your sin or someone else's. There's no sin there. It's a place of righteousness and holiness. It's a place of beauty. It's a place of no tears and no heartaches and no more death. All of that is done. All that is aside. Heaven, it's a beautiful place. And if we're saved, we go by death or we go by the rapture to this prepared place and this city that's going to be our dwelling place. But how do I know that heaven's my home? How do I know that? We're in 1 Corinthians 15. Look in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. That word gospel, it just simply means good news. Here's the good news which I preached unto you. which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. He's talking to the church at Corinth, those believers that had understood his gospel and received his gospel. Verse 3, he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." He says, this is the gospel that I've preached unto you. And it is Jesus Christ, Jesus the man, Christ the Messiah, the chosen one, chosen of God. Jesus is God the Son. He died. Why did he die? For our sin. For our sin. He didn't die because we're all good people. He didn't die because we could all just earn our way to heaven if we just went to church every Sunday and put some money in the offering plate and helped some elderly people across the street. That's funny to these guys in the front here. Jesus Christ didn't die if we could earn it. He died because of sin. We're sinners. He died because of the sin that you and I can't just get some kind of eraser and say, well, let's just forget about that. Let's forget that that ever happened. No, God's keeping a record. And he has a record of everything that we've done. And before you get saved, God knows everything. Amen. And so Christ died. Why did he die? He died for our sins. And then he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. As I said earlier, to prove that he was who he said he was. There's a whole bunch of religious leaders that have come and gone. Why? They're dead. They're in the ground. They didn't raise from the dead. Jesus Christ did. Amen. He rose from the dead. Look in verse number 19. Same chapter, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If our hope is just Christ in this life right now, these short years that we live, if our hope is Christ just in this life, he says, we're miserable. Look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, we're all related. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen, I'm glad that I have the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad that I have Christ as my comforter and God as my Savior in this life. But if it's just for the few years of this life, man, we're miserable. But it's not just in this life. It's in the life to come. It's in eternity. Our hope is our eternity is secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for that. Look in verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Yeah. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, what is that? That's the earthy, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So what happens? You and I are born into this body, into this tabernacle. And we have a spiritual body as well that dwells in us, the soul. And when we sin, guess what happens? Our soul is condemned by that sin. Our spiritual body is condemned in its natural state because of our sin. But if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for sin, the Bible says that God gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He takes that spiritual man that's inside and he renews him. He gives that spiritual man life, which the Bible says is everlasting life. God does that. A preacher doesn't do it. A religion doesn't do it. Our best efforts don't do it. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. But by his mercy, he saved us. If we accept and receive Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, the Bible says you have been born again. Not to enter into the womb the second time. That's what Nicodemus asked about. But a spiritual birth that God does to the spiritual man that lives inside. There's a natural man and a spiritual man. And that spiritual man is born again of God. And when this outside thing right here, when this goes and is in the grave, my spiritual man, because of Jesus Christ, is going to heaven. How do I know for sure that heaven is my home? Have you been saved and born again? If you've been saved and born again, heaven is your home. Amen. Heaven is your home. Look in verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? Death can't affect a spiritual man. Amen. O grave, where is thy victory? The grave can't hold the spiritual body. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ only. It's through him alone. How do I know that heaven is my home? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through receiving what he has done on the cross of Calvary. Throw the rest out. Throw all the rest of it out. Baptism, you get wet. Having good church attendance, that's obedience unto God, doesn't save you. Your best attempts and your best good works cannot get rid of the sin. It's through Jesus Christ. And don't let some church tell you you're okay because you belong to a certain organization that your sins are, you don't have sins. Man, the Lord Jesus Christ died for those sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This body might stop breathing. You're not going to lose the everlasting life given to the spiritual man. And what's going to happen? Going home to heaven. Going home to heaven. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come and take us out of this body. Come and take us to a place that you've prepared for us, where your love is outpoured unto us in a perfect and righteous body, a mind that no longer thinks the wrong thing, a mouth that no longer says the wrong thing, eyes that are no longer tempted to look at the wrong thing, ears that can't hear the wrong thing, feet that can't take us to the wrong places, hands that can't put themselves on things they shouldn't. A glorified and perfect body with the mind of Christ, and to be there and to place our eyes on the Savior who died for us and gave us hope in this life. Thank God for a place called heaven. If you're saved and born again, it's your home. And you should walk out and look up into the skies and say, today, Lord, let's make it today, Lord. How about today? There's nothing in this life that is in the way of me wanting the Lord to return. Nothing in this life. And that should be our prayer for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.